RadioArchives.com presents Operator No. 5 Magazine from June-July 1936. Death's Ragged Army, the 26th adventure of James Christopher, Operator No. 5, America's Secret Service Ace, by Curtis Steele. Read by Milton Bagby. New England and the Eastern Seaboard were already in the hands of the invaders from the Central Empire. The brutal Purple Emperor, War Master of Europe and Asia, was beating America to her knees, using his horrible green gas, beheading all who resist. With the American Defense Forces routed, only Operator 5, Ace of the Intelligence, and his tiny band of loyal guerrillas could hope to check the Mad Conqueror. A true-to-life thrilling episode dramatized from Jimmy Christopher's own personal history of the Second War of Independence. And now, James Christopher, Operator No. 5's thrilling adventure, Death's Ragged Army. Chapter 1. Army of Doomed. On the 22nd day of the invasion of the United States by the Purple Emperor, a crowd of stunned, hopeless men and women gathered in Union Square in New York City to hear a proclamation of the conqueror. The gray-shirted, steel-helmeted, stony-faced guards of the Central Empire used their sabers indiscriminately to keep the crowd in order. In the center of the square, a wide platform had been erected, and upon it was a gruesome block with a groove in the top, upon which a man might rest his head before it was chopped from his body by the executioner. A score of prisoners, awaiting execution in a wooden cage on wheels near the platform, drew the silent sympathy of the throng. But no voices were raised in protest, for the sabers of the guards were perilously close, and those guards were all too willing to plunge the shining blades into the throats of anyone who offered the slightest show of resistance. It was 9 o'clock in the morning, and the warm sun was bathing the city, its brightness offering sharp contrast to the destruction and havoc that lay everywhere. Though debris of the 10-day bombardment had all been cleared away by the forced labor of captive citizens, the crumbled walls of buildings all around the square, the gaping holes in the streets, testified to the extensive damage that had been done. Suddenly, a stir ran through the sullen thousands in the square as a squat, broad-shouldered man stepped up on the platform in the center. He was naked from the waist up, and his chest was entirely covered with hair. His trousers were spattered with blood, and there were flecks of blood on his shoes. Black hair, matted and uncombed, fell over a low forehead to his eyes. He carried a huge broadsword on his shoulder, and when he stopped beside the block, it took both hands to rest the cumbersome weapon on the floor. A low growl arose from the throng at sight of him. Voices murmured, "The executioner! God, when will they stop?" The executioner was keenly conscious of the hatred and revulsion he aroused, but rather than resenting it, he seemed to glory in it. His red tongue licked over his thick lips as his gaze rested gloatingly on the prisoners caged in the cell on wheels just below the platform. 19 of those prisoners were men. The 20th was a girl. At first glance, it might have been difficult to distinguish her from the men, for she wore men's trousers and an old slip-on sweater. But her bobbed chestnut hair could only belong to a woman. The soft curve of her white throat could never have belonged to a man. She stood there in the cage, head thrown defiantly back, her clear blue eyes reflecting neither fear nor nervousness as she returned the executioner's insolent glance. An elderly prisoner, who stood beside her, placed a hand on her shoulder. "Miss Elliot," this man murmured, "I am old and ready for death." He wore the uniform of a major of United States Infantry, and his tunic was open, revealing a bloody bandage across his chest. "But for your sake, I hope that this friend of yours, Operator 5, makes his boast to rescue you. You are too young and too beautiful to die."
Diane Elliott shrugged, turned, and gave the major a soft smile.